Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
If you have ever been hospitalized and have experienced the process of health insurance claims, then you would know how insurance companies and hospitals are mostly at loggerheads. Insurance companies will tell you that hospitals inflate medical bills, and hospitals tell you that insurance companies negotiate hard on package rates. They want to pay less for the treatment. We do not know who is right or wrong, but thankfully, the government is mulling over creating a health regulator. Hello, I'm Aprajita, your Why Not Mint Money podcast host. How will having a health regulator solve the problem? To talk about the same, I have with me Dr. S. Prakash, who is currently MD and CEO designate of Galaxy Health and Allied Insurance. Not only he is an insurance industry veteran, but has also practiced as a doctor for many years.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Welcome, Dr. Prakash.
Good morning, Aprajita.
Good morning, sir. And really happy to have you here.
Thank you so much and my best wishes to Mint for this initiative.
Thank you, sir. So I feel that you are best suited to represent hospital side and also insurance industry's side. So hoping to have some unbiased views here.
Certainly.
So first, tell our listeners about what a health regulator means. And we have an insurance industry regulator, IRDA. So when health regulator comes in the picture, then who all will get regulated by this health regulator that government is talking about?
No, we have a regulator, Insurance Regulatory Development Authority of India, which regulates all the life, non-life and standalone health insurance companies. And all companies come under this ambit. When it comes to health, the designing of the policy is done by the insurers, whereas the delivery of services is given by hospitals. And hospitals do not currently come under the ambit of IRDAI. Maybe this is what you are trying to point about. So, do hospitals have a regulator? Today, the answer is they are under self-regulation. Mm-hmm. They are supposed to follow Clinical Establishment Act. And obviously, as the media talks today and every one of us know, there is no standardization of cost. And it is very difficult for a common man in India to understand honest and ethical practitioners among others in the ecosystem. So this is the problem we are facing. Mm-hmm. So to address this issue, there are a lot of honest players, ethical hospitals, which are doing a lot of life-saving efforts. And you know, they have to be recognized and they have to be honored for their services. But at the same time, unfortunately, there are people who abuse the system and there are also fraudsters. So we should have a strong technology platform to identify such miscreants. So that is a reason wherein, like, you know, a regulator exclusively for hospitals may help to standardize operating procedures, help hospitals to have a registry and create a mechanism by which insurance companies may not just pay for activity, but also pay for performance. So how can I pay for a performance unless the hospital has a proper system, a registry, and a follow-up mechanism? And I'm able to know that, okay, this hospital does so many knee replacement or so many cancer surgeries or so many coronary stenting for ischemic heart disease. When they're able to do these things and when they're able to maintain post-operative care and successful clinical outcome, we can naturally grade them at a higher level. And naturally, this grading can be calibrated with the financial payout also. This is what we are trying to look at through a regulator. Uh, as I discussed with the hospitals and medical associations, they are also willing to be recognized for their sincere contribution. And they are also offended to know that some people do involve in fraudulent activities. So it's, I think, you know, as you started the conversation, you rightly pointed out that there is a lot of asynergy between hospitals and insurers. And naturally, a good dialogue between insurers, health insurance companies and hospitals, and a regulator at the helm of affairs can solve this issue and throw some light to this area.
And will pricing be regulated by health regulator, or mostly procedures and collecting data, grading hospitals?
No, the very purpose of grading a hospital, Prajita, it is only to effect payment based on the grade.
Right. True, got it. Yes, and this leads me to my second question. So in February, Supreme Court highlighted that government was supposed to issue a notification as per clinical establishment rules, and it would have mandated standard rate across hospitals in India. So your views on it, should there be regulatory limits on medical expenses? And medical industry is obviously against it. They don't want it to get regulated. But having limits and having a prescribed scale for treatment, should that happen?
See, there is some respect and freedom that has to be given to hospitals and clinicians, in the meaning that a diagnosis and the line of management is the absolute decision of the treating doctor. Insurance companies can only say that my policyholder has got a DCCA and this DCCA is admissible as per the contract document, and hence I will pay. And is this DCCA being treated as per the common protocol and guidelines? This is what the insurance companies can check. But it is the freedom and liberty of the hospitals to choose what is the appropriate treatment based on the patient's clinical condition. And usually, you know, doctors, once they arrive at a diagnosis, they discuss the treatment option with the patients and family. And based on the family's requirement, they identify the right treatment. When it comes to any major surgery or oncology or anything, it is always discussing the treatment option with the patient's family and reaching a consensus. These type of ethical practices, should happen in all hospitals. So today in India, unfortunately, health education itself is not the same in all medical colleges. There are colleges offering the right education and a very, very world-class training with a lot of clinical material and patients. At the same time, there are hospitals, there are medical colleges where there are no patients, no dedicated faculties, and the training given is very suboptimal, and this has been happening for several years. Every one of us know, every one of us who want to put our ward into medical schools, we know that not all medical schools have the same standards. So when standards are lacking at that level of education in a medical school, now we are talking about standard at the time, at the level of treatment in the hospitals. So a lot of basic fundamental work has to be done. That is the reason when a regulator can look at it, the bottom up of the pyramid, and then see that how we can align all these things and create a system, like, you know, and for example, National Health Services, which is well accepted worldwide. A system as it is followed in UK. So it is possible in India. We have the best of the talents. We have a very intelligent doctors. And we do have modern advancements that are available in the Western world in India. Only thing is the way we practice. We do not 100% inculcate ethics because of lack of standard regulation. So that is when I think they are probably talking about a regulator not only for insurance related matters, even for a patient who pays from the pocket, the level of training to a doctor, when can I allow a doctor, you are talking about modern advancements, but when can a doctor be eligible? How long is like, you know, is only trying to learn? Is he in the learning curve or is he totally eligible to practice? How can I pay a doctor who is in the learning curve? And how can I pay an expert who has done, you know, hundreds of such surgeries? You know, these things, you know, I think we should have a proper system, data. A lot of work need to be done in this area. That is probably the reason why an exclusive health regulator is looked upon.
So, yeah, health regulator is a ray of hope in solving this problem in healthcare industry.
You're absolutely right, yeah.
Right. And now I'll share a personal experience. So in March, my mother-in-law got admitted. So she started having some breathing issues and we took her to nearby hospital. And that was a CGHS affiliated hospital. But then in the emergency, the team told us that they don't have ICU beds available. So it's better that we take her elsewhere. So that is also a challenge, but it's a different matter that CGHS empaneled hospitals, sometimes they do not want CGHS patients to join in. That's a different matter, but I'll come to my point. I took her to another private hospital nearby my home, but that was not CGHS empaneled, and we got her admitted. Now treatment happened and the cost came out and we filed for reimbursement with the government. And we were told that we'll only get 30, at the most 30% or 32-33% of what we have paid there. So it seems that government rates, that what government pays to insurance companies, is way too low for the treatment than what if we are paying from our pockets than what private hospitals are charging from normal people. So why this anomaly? Supreme Court also referred to it. Are government rates too low or private companies are charging too high?
You had the question and the answer. So there are lot of, you, I agree with you, lot of quality hospitals, popular hospitals and successful hospitals who are not willing to entertain CGHS, unfortunately. So naturally, definitely the people who are in charge of such schemes should have a proper package system, and they should arrive at standardization of cost. So this is also causing a problem to the insurers, because the hospitals who are forced to do a procedure under these schemes at a very, very lesser price are trying to subsidize that. And they are trying to compensate by charging more from the insurance patients. This is again one more reason for the lack of synergy between insurance companies and hospitals. So I think a fair price have to be arrived, keeping in mind, you know, active practitioners who are part of the committee and not just professors of government colleges who do not have a real pulse on the market practices. So most of these prices are fixed by, you know, I think we'll have to look at what is the committee, who are the committee members, what is their practical knowledge, and how much are they aware of the ground reality. All these things have to be taken into account. And we'll have to not just implement a scheme, we have to implement a scheme to the extent that healthcare delivery should be made free at the point. At the point of delivery, it should be made free. Now, as you said, when you're going there, somebody says you pay 30%, I'll pay, the scheme will pay some money, but scheme is not fully, you know, reimbursing your expenses. The very objective of any scheme is to make healthcare free at the point of delivery. If it is not happening, we will have to question the way it is implemented. We will have to bring both the stakeholders, talk to them, and arrive at a common pathway. Once this is done, this can form a benchmark for insurance companies to follow. And you know, it is very easy for General Insurance Council or the regulator from an insurance aspect also to arrive at standardization of cost. So you have raised a very pertinent question. I think this is also, you know, being discussed in several media. The best response to this problem is someone to study the flaws in CGHS and other schemes, and then create a committee which can talk to all the stakeholders and address those pain points and get the cordial cooperation of all the hospitals and insurance companies. So this is very pertinent. Unless we align both the stakeholders, we cannot achieve what we wanted.
Correct. Right. And now coming to modern treatment procedures. So I believe insurance companies cover about 12 modern treatment procedures, and that too with restrictions. So your views on it, because medical industry will keep having innovation, and against that, health insurance products may or may not cover it. So how to find that right balance here?
See, modern treatment and procedures cannot be restricted to 12 or 10 or 14. So these are all, every field is evolving. And as I told you, the expertise available in India and the level of training, and people with, you know, Indian qualification, they go for fellowship and training abroad, they come back, and, you know, the level of medical expertise, we should be very proud about the medical expertise that we have in India. And naturally, whatever medical advancements that are happening in the Western world is available in India at a very fair price, rather. So that's why they don't call us medical tourism, they call it as medical value travel. So it's not only evidence-based medicine, it is also value-based medicine. The same procedure, for example, somebody has been diagnosed with a cancer of the breast or the oral cavity, and they undergo a procedure. Somebody has got a osteoarthritis and they undergo knee replacement. Or somebody has got a heart valve disease and they undergo a transcatheter aortic valve implantation. All these procedures, we have state-of-the-art equipments and expertise available in India. And doctors in India are able to give an outcome at par with what is available in the Western world. But if you look at the cost, doctors in India are working at much, much, much lesser cost. That is what I am trying to say, that it is not only evidence-based, it is also value-based medicine that is given in India. And unfortunately, we are not able to identify and recognize ethical players in the market.
Right.
So as a doctor in the health insurance space, I have witnessed a lot of doctors doing a very great, very clean ethical service. Not because they are regulated, because of their self-regulation. By their own conscience, they want to do only the right thing. But such people, do we have a system to recognize and reward them? So addressing fraud is not only identifying those people who are miscreants. It is also identifying people who are honest and honoring them. In that way, we can promote honesty. By promoting honesty, we can minimize dishonesty.
But how to do that? No parameter to really identify honesty.
No, every specialty-wise, procedure-wise, we can frame parameters. There are, I can tell you, Prajita, because there are thousands of surgeries done. But if you categorize, 80% of them will come under 20 headings. If you take the 20 headings, and if you define parameters, we are addressing 80% of the procedures done today. And for these 20 headings, which may come under ENT or cardiology or oncology or orthopedics or any specialty, in these 20 headings, if we can define some parameters and we create a technology-based solution to monitor that, it is possible. A very strong health regulator can bring in these reforms. Unless this happens, every day we'll be only talking about it. Because everyone talks about the problem today, nobody is close to defining a solution.
Right. True.
That is the reason why I say, as a medical doctor with graduation and post-graduation from India, and also FRCS from UK. With my experience in India and clinical experience overseas, I have been a practitioner. I have done the duty of a night duty doctor. We have worked in small nursing homes. We have done our post-graduation. We have worked as specialists. We have worked in corporate hospitals. We know the pain, agony and suffering of the common man, the patient.
Right.
So if the pain and agony of a common man in India has to be addressed properly, we need to have a system to identify the quality and practices of hospitals. And we have to link the payment by insurer based on the quality. So once this cycle is completed, I think a lot of medical reforms will continue to happen. And you're talking about medical modern advancements. Every field, urology, they are able to treat cancer prostate with robotic surgery. And patients can go home within a couple of days.
Right.
These are all conditions where, you know, we have seen 90% mortality and hardly patients, you know, can leave the hospital before 14 days. Today, a valve replacement in the heart can be done without opening the chest through a small incision in the pinhole surgery, what we saw. It's a transcatheter aortic valve implantation.
Okay.
Knee replacement, the old people, degenerative problems. Nowadays, you know, India, the aging population is growing and majority of them suffer from degenerative joint disease. And knee replacement, people used to be scared of going for surgery. Now, knee replacement is, I do not know, in future it will be like a glorified cataract surgery. Like we go in the morning for a cataract, we come back within 2-3 hours. Knee replacement, the same way, you know, it is happening within 30 hours. People go, get admitted, get operated. Then the second day, they leave the hospital. To such an extent, medicine is evolving. And the advantages of these advancements should reach every common man in this country. It is not only to be kept for the affordable and rich people. Because we have volumes of good number of doctors and hospitals, we can make this whatever advantages and benefits available to a common man in this country. This podcast, I richly believe, should help policymakers to come with some reformative action so that every common man in this country gets a benefit. Insurance should be made available to not only the elite people, but also the people who are just, you know, starting to make their salary and starting to make their livelihood. Health, food, clothes and shelter has to be graduated to food, clothes, shelter and health insurance. Every one of them should have an insurance policy, and this policy should allow them to go to a decent hospital and have an appropriate treatment.
Right.
With forward-looking regulatory policies, Insurance Regulatory Development Authority of India is coming up with a lot of forward-looking policies. An excellent customer-friendly approach, the recent regulations and documents they have released, if you read the Master Circular, you will see that how customer-friendly they are. With all those regulations in place and technological advancements happening, the number of insurtechs, healthcare techs coming in with a lot of innovative measures, I am very confident that the future is going to be very bright. I am only waiting for all these things to align.
We need support from healthcare industry. Insurance industry is evolving well. But
yeah, you are right. Today, insurance regulator is very strong and they are able to maintain all their member companies under a code of ethics. The same way if we can create for hospitals and if we can align all these stakeholders, I'm very confident that we can do a lot of benefit to people, because in India, there is a combination of poverty, innocence and medical problem. Imagine a person who doesn't have so much of money, who is innocent of his diagnosis, and he doesn't have the disease and poverty. This combination is a very, very, very painful thing. We have personally witnessed, we have seen that in our eyes. We want to find a solution to that. The only solution is standardization of cost, standard operating procedures, and a well-regulated hospital structure and a proper, simple products and a low premium insurance cover to be made available to people of all economic strata in our country.
True. Yeah, so let's hope that health regulator solves that problem. And thank you so much, sir, for sharing your views with us. It has been a great conversation with you. And I really hope that this podcast reaches to policymakers. Then only we'll have some solution to it. Thank you so much.
May this noble initiative bring fruitful income and throw light to a lot of, you know, deserving people who need the support of our healthcare system in India.
Right. Truly spoken.
Thank you, Aprajita. Thanks for this call. God bless you all.
Thank you. I hope you liked the episode today. I am available on X by my handle, Apri_Sharma. And you can also look for my name on LinkedIn, which is Aprajita Sharma, and you will be able to find my profile. For more such interesting podcasts, keep tuning into stsmartcast.com. Thank you.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.